Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right sits John. And today we're going to be talking about communication in a technology-driven world. And what I've been intrigued by this is I've had a cell phone for a pretty long time, and there's been iterations of my cell phone from the cool flip phones to my friends actually. I'm old enough to have the bag car phone. One of them had. The thing was awesome.
You're like Zach Morris.
Yeah. It was so big. But that thing, you could go anywhere and it would get service. I mean, you could talk to Martians. It didn't matter.
Get a brain tumor.
Talking to Martians, were you?
Oh, yeah. Well,
let's talk about that.
No, let's not. But I even like wherever you go, technology is kind of a part, and it takes away, I think, from some forms of communication and aids in other forms of communication. I know we all have probably a love-hate relationship with technology. If you go into a restaurant, there's TVs all over. It dumbs down the conversation at the table because it's hard not to take a little peeksy at what's going on behind your head or behind the other person's head. If you go to the gas station, there's televisions now, and I don't know.
I don't like that.
No,
at the pump, like, that's my relaxing time.
I kind of like it because I don't have anything else to do, and no one else is out there pumping gas.
You
with
see
me.
Through the noise. It's an advertisement. Every time I go over there, it's like they're trying to sell me something,
or they have soccer on. That's why soccer?
They're pushing stuff.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Those establishments.
So everywhere you go, it seems like technology is popping up. It's in front of our faces 24/7. And technology, as we know, is both a blessing and a curse. But why is it such a curse? My aunt won't respond to you if you text her. She's like, you either call me or you don't talk to me. And it's not just because she's being ornery. I think she is onto something. Mm. Her reason is it's not how you ask for things, and you don't do it by typing. You do it when you're speaking to her. And so if you want something or you want to talk to her, she wants actual words, and she has higher value on actually the words coming from your mouth than from your fingers or typing it down. And at some level, I think she's kind of right.
Yeah.
Is that there is a relational component to us using words that come from our very mouths.
And there's a respect thing with that too. You know, there's a time and a place where a text message is adequate means of communication for sure. But, you know, I do appreciate your aunt's stance on that because there are conversations that you need to have in person.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about, like behavioral scientists talk about hierarchy of communication.
Oh.
You know, and text, even written, like, you know, if you have to write you a letter, which is old school, that still isn't as good as
talking
to you. It
would totally creep me out if you wrote me a letter.
Oh, well, don't look in your mailbox. I did, anyway. But there's the idea that you lose so much in that form of communication compared to being in person with someone where we have physical cues and things that we can read that we don't even realize that we're sending out there, but they help communicate more than just what our words are saying. And well, you lose that a lot in technology.
Even in God's economy, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
God created the world and he spoke it into existence. He didn't write it into existence. Mm-hmm. We have the written word of God, which is very precious to us,
yep.
His special revelation, but it's not our end point. It's not like we're going to sit in heaven and that's all we have. We actually have the very presence, the very word of God with us. Jesus came to earth, God in the bod, and he spoke and he said things. And someday we'll be in his very presence and he will speak because it is better than just having the written word that is there. And there's more of a relational component to it.
Well, even the written word, scripture tells us that it was God breathed. So there's something coming out of his mouth that is speaking and creating
inspired
life.
Inspired is what that means.
I know what it means, but I'm just like,
it wasn't like he was literally going, hey there, right. John boy, write this down. Yeah.
Right. But I mean,
I don't know why God sounds like
creation,
that, but so he's from New York, but
power in that. And that's like, there's power, like you're saying, in the face-to-face communication. So many times I've seen people's conversations blow up because it was an email or a text and the intent of what they said did not get received by the other party clearly. And then you're in a heap of a mess.
Yeah. Well, even we work with a lot of college students. We got to tell them, hey, when you're breaking up with your girlfriend, don't ghost, yeah. which is the idea of don't say anything, and don't text them. Man up and go over there and have a conversation, and don't use God's name in vain by saying God told you to do it. Just say, hey, I don't like you. And we got to part ways here. And there's a communal part of that that I think is actually important. Cheryl Turkle, I think was her name, wrote a book, Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. And she has some really interesting points to the fact that there's power in just talking. Along the way, Turkle has a lot to say about technology in the book and its effects on young people. And I think that part is really interesting. One of the things that she talks about in there is that young people would rather text than talk because it seems safer and easier. And part of speaking to somebody is if I'm uncomfortable, it's hard for me to do it. I'll do it, but it's learning that skill of how to actually communicate and how do I do it gently? How do I do it without it blowing up? And where text, you can just kind of say and spray whatever you want or on your social media post or whatever that may be. And then you're like, well, I don't know why that person's so mad. I'm just saying the truth. well, how you're saying it is maybe not the problem. And she also talks about social media has generated fear within us. And through seeing everybody's stuff always at our fingertips, somebody posting something, somebody, you know, we're looking into their life. There's a FOMO principle that has arrived and given great anxiety to our youth.
Fear of missing out.
Fear FOMO. Of missing out. Yeah, I do not have that. I don't care what you're doing because what I'm doing is better, is what I think in my head.
Well, and one of the interesting things, if you look at some of the studies, especially with youth, the social media, the iPhones, all that stuff, like they're the most connected group of people, the most connected generation that we've had. But you see that you don't have that face-to-face interaction and connection, the damage that it's done. I mean, you talk to, you know, secular people that are in psychology and things like that, and the amount of depression and anxiety and suicide, all that stuff coincides with the ramp up in our social media stuff. And so like you can chat with your friends, you can post how awesome your life is, but you can create a major front that's not true. And like you're not having that body language of speaking to somebody where you can pick up on those nonverbal cues where it's like you're hurting, something's going on, but you can present this true life that is not true, that everything's great, everything's awesome, and you're just hurting inside.
Yeah. One of the other things that I have has been pointed out to me about the way we communicate with phones and things like that, especially thinking of text messaging and things like that, you know, it often pulls us away from people who are right in front of us. you know, the tendency that I have and I see in other people to, while I'm talking to someone in person, I can pull up my phone, look down and talk to somebody else. I would never do that with another person in person. Like if someone walked in just to stop talking and, you know, ignore the person who was just talking to me to talk to somebody else. And yet cell phones allow us to do that pretty easily. And it seems fairly accepted in our culture.
It's no longer faux pas.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's something important going on down here.
Well, even at the dinner table, like what you allow at the dinner table. And, you know, I know everyone's connected and, you know, there's things that are happening and, you know, my phone's going off, my watch is going off and I'm trying not to, but when it's jingling, it's very hard not to take a little peeksy at that thing. And I think it actually, it takes away from the conversations that we're supposed to have. The water cooler talk, even in an office, is actually important to the synergy of the company. And, you know, there's studies out there on this that we probably actually produce about 4 hours of work a day, but that other 4 hours isn't necessarily wasted time. Mm-hmm. It's gearing up for those 4 hours to do actually a higher level of production. And so a lot of our culture has gone into this virtual like we work virtually. I think it actually doesn't always play out as we think it's going to, in the sense that there's not that water cooler talk, those conversations, those sidebar conversations that just happen that kind of equip and push us forward. Even when we have an argument, the Bible actually talks about communication. If your brother has something against you, go to them. Do not, it doesn't say text them. I know they didn't have text back then, but I think it would have said, especially don't text them.
Go to them. Yeah.
Go to them. Do not email them, but go to them and sit with them and talk with them, because I think there's levels of empathy and compassion that are lost in text. When I'm rip-roaring mad, it's very easy for me just to zip something off really quickly and half-heartedly. But if I'm sitting across from that person, I'm trying to help them to understand where I'm coming from. And I'm also hopefully trying to help to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, it's the keyboard warrior mindset. And I know that we all know people that are behind their screen and just going berserk online. And then you talk to them in real life and you're like, you are nothing like the persona that you put out there. There's obviously good sides to technology too. You know, one of the things I think we've talked about here in recent past was the fact that you can get your YouVersion Bible app and you can listen to somebody else read the Bible on there. I've battled against that within my own heart, and it's actually really good for me.
And it's free.
It's free. And it's like you can get different voices in there. So if you don't like the one, like, you got some options, but there's some good parts to technology. That balance of trying to figure out when and where it's most appropriate and acceptable. Like we have rules at our house. Like you're not supposed to have your phone out at dinner time. That's hard because it does connect us in a lot of ways, which there's some good things to that. Like you said, if there's something big that's going on that you need to know about, but it also is, as it pulls you away from those other relationships that you have, or just we use it to numb ourselves. You know, I don't know how many times I could tell you that I went on for something and I end up 20 minutes later down a YouTube rabbit hole, or I'm scrolling through social media and it's like, man, that was just a waste of time.
Yeah. There's other parts of it too, just that have changed socially. Like, in the, I don't know, growing up, no one would really call you during supper time hours. It was, and even if it rang, you'd be like, we're just letting it go. And you had the old, you know, voicemail type thing. Not
the tape recorder one.
The tape recorder. Yeah.
Little tapes.
Yep. And you would just go, okay, I'll get back to them after dinner, you know, type of thing. But it was kind of a faux pas to do that, where now we're so connected. I get calls at 9, 10 o'clock at night and, oh, you're probably not sleeping. I'm not sleeping, but why are you calling me right now?
I was.
I'm thinking about it.
Well, and our phones, I mean, this is something that I've seen evidence of in several different places. Our phones and our tablets and things like that, they're designed to get our attention quickly. The notifications, everything about the way it's designed is very specific and intentional. You know, I don't know how it is on Android phones. I'm pretty sure it's the same. But that little red circle with the number in it, here's how many notifications you're missing right now. It's designed that way to bother us so that we go, I gotta look at that. What is going on over there? I gotta clear this out, you know. And
Putin probably did something.
Yeah, so that's where we're at right now, right? So yeah, it allows, the tyranny of the urgent to pull us away. And, I'm a proponent of technology. I like it. It's fun. I have a smart watch. I have a smartphone. My car's really dumb, but I know there's some smart cars out there that I'd drive if I could, you know. So I see the benefit of these things, but I also want to be eyes wide open to some of the pitfalls that come with it. You know, for example, for me, you know, I'm a little bit of an information/entertainment junkie, and having this little phone in my pocket, this little computer that connects to everything I could ever want to listen to or watch, it's hard for me to have a quiet moment, you know? And I think that's something that I'm just, you know, within the last couple of years, even starting to see that I've lost something in being able to carry this thing around with unlimited connection most of the time.
Well, I think the also just friendships and development of friendship happens in space and time, face to face happens. Like, you know, we all did youth ministry at one time and taking kids on a trip. One of the things that I used to say is like, you can't have your phones out from this stop to this stop. And the development of those relationship was high during those times. And I recognize that they just needed that freedom from, and someone just to say no, that isn't where you're connected. We all grew up with video games and I was talking to some youth and one of them was yawning in church, which I could have been that I was boring, but, it wasn't that. It was they were tired. And I said, oh, did you stay up really late? Yeah, I was up playing video games. And I was like, oh, did you have anybody? Were you hanging out with the guys? Oh, yeah. We were all doing it, blah, 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 blah. And they kind of explained what they were doing. And I'm like, oh, did you guys just have like a bunch of snacks just hanging out? And they're like, I don't know what they had. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And they're in a totally different – they're friends. They're in a totally different house. Like when we played video games, we played video games together.
Oh, yeah.
Talk trash to each other, you know, ate with garbage food together.
With two controllers and 10 guys and
Yeah, sweaty, stinky, gross, but we were still face to face. And then you're yapping about whatever or, you know, making some inappropriate comment about the level of play that the other person is at. And, but there was a relationship component to that whole thing that is just totally different than just talking to somebody on the phone or even our FaceTime stuff, which is it's better than just the phone, but it's not the same thing. It's still different. And that's why, you know, grandma and grandpa wants to come and visit and all of those things, because there is something about touch. There is something about being in that room. And I think God has given us words because of that, because he's a God of words and he wants us to be able to share. He wants us to hear his voice, but he wants us to hear the other person's voice. When you sit across from somebody else, no matter if they're a believer or not, it's one of the most holy things that you can, because you're looking at one of the most holy creations that have ever been or ever is. It is created above all else. It's the prime piece of creation. He said after humanity was created, he said, this is very good. And before it was just good. And when we came along, he said, this is very good. And so the thing that sits across from you when you're having those conversations with somebody else is a gift from God. It's a image bearer of God and a really holy and a holy moment as you get to share words with that person.
And I think with looking at this and we look at some of the pitfalls of it. Yeah, it's absolutely, we need to have that human interaction. You know, God created Eve because it wasn't good for man to be alone. Then, you know, everything was very good after that for him for a while. But I think of just the dangers that are presented our kids with the access that you get through your smartphone. And it can be the computer, it can be a tablet or whatever. But, you know, things like pornography are rampant amongst a much younger age kid now. Like, it's way different from even 10 years ago, and you look at even like the top Google searches, if you did some research on that, and like the amount of pornography that younger and younger kids are getting exposed to, it's not good. It's never good, but that's creating some very disturbing things for our kids and the culture that we have.
And I think parents need to be aware of that, but they also need to be aware and take control of it. Just because your kid has a phone doesn't mean they get to use the phone. You're still mom and dad. And to have a screen-free night is actually kind of a luxury in our society. One of the things that I really appreciate about Houghton Elementary is that they have March Reading Month, and every Tuesday is a screen-free night. And my kids didn't read very much last Tuesday, but they did play – they were playing Rummy and they were playing Texas Hold'em, but they're interacting with each other and listening to the Gambler. So, you know,
and how hard was that for them? Because my kids did that too, and they were not bummed out about not having screens.
No.
Well, I mean, we were talking before about taking high school kids on trips and having no phones on those trips. Every time I've done that, it's like a detox from drugs.
Yeah.
The first couple days, they're like, come on, man, give me a hit. Just let me see it real quick.
They're jonesing for it.
But every time I've done it, and I've had a dozen or more trips like this we get to the end and they're thanking me for that experience. Now, I think we give them back their phones and they pretty quickly forget how great that was. But it's so interesting, the pattern. Couple days of like they're jonesing for it, and then by the end they're thanking me for this week. Oh, I can't believe I had a whole week where I wasn't worried about this. I wasn't getting all, you know, all the stuff we were talking about of comparison and things that become really easy for kids. You know, they didn't have to deal with it, and they were grateful in the end.
And it's not just kids, though. I mean, adults get stuck in that too. You look at, you know, people that you went to high school with that you're friends with on Facebook, and you're like, man, they're living the baller life.
Right.
Like they got the cars, they got the house, the vacations. And then you find out, you know, you go back to a class reunion, it's like, oh, their marriage is blown up. Their kids have severe problems. And like everything's not the picture that it was painted to be.
Yep. Well, you get to put up the picture that you want
people
to see.
The thing of it is, technology is, it is a great servant. It's a horrible master. And when we allow it to be our master, it is always a problem. And so, listeners, go take a walk with your spouse or with your kids and just enjoy shutting off the screens. You are created in the image of God. In the image of God, that means that you have the ability to speak and communicate. And he wants that for you, not only to him, but to each other. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Have a screen-free night. Go take a walk with a coworker. And instead of sitting in perusing Facebook for your lunch hour, do something where you're communicating with other people. The Bible talks a lot about communication and a lot about how it is actually really a gift for us. And so enjoy the gift. And this is good news you can use.
Thanks for listening with us this week. If you guys have any questions or comments or topics that you'd like us to cover, please reach out. You can email me at travis@evangelup.org. Or if you want to catch up on any of the previous episodes, you can just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast on your device. Just don't stay on there too long. And we'll catch you guys next week.